This episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Beth Van Elswick, Matt Carter, Eric Malmstrom, Mike D., Garrett Kemble, John Sutherland, Leslie Norman, Chad Shepard, Keith Tate, Jonathan Wilson, Andrew Hopkins, Wendy Muller, Sean Hall, and our sponsors, Monday Night Brewing, Atlanta Pizza and Yiro, and Resource Environmental Group, LLC.
You haven't heard the story?
What story?
Of the Greenskeeper.
That's just an urban legend. I heard about this.
Apparently, he was a former Greenskeeper, badly burned in some bizarre gardening accident. Now he lives in a shack out in the woods. He swore he would seek revenge and kill everybody at this club.
Legend is true. The killer is back.
Back from the dead.
Marco?
Killing promiscuous teens one by one.
Ted? Quit picking around.
So tell me, have you seen anything out of the ordinary?
Greenskeeper.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Autumn Fisher, Jeff Leboff, and here's your host, Tim Andrews.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 4, Episode 13, lucky number 13. Everybody likes number 13. I wanted to give you a heads up coming up for Radio Labyrinth patrons at the various levels, which Audible will tell you about shortly. Next week, or the following week, we'll be dropping Casting Call Chaos in honor of the return of Major League Baseball. We're doing a classic scene from Bull Durham, the 1988 film that launched the career of Tim Robbins and also stars Susan Sarandon and Kevin Costner. We're going to do the whole scene. It's fun. We haven't figured out what characters we're going to do yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
But we're going to try. We're going to try to find characters.
Totally.
Yeah, we'll get it done.
We'll definitely do it.
And also, RLPC Movie Club, War Games, the 1983 Cold War drama for kids, starring Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy, and Dabney Coleman.
Yes.
Put X in the center square, fuckers. Yeah, that will. We're going to work on that one, get it done.
So excited about War Games.
I know. I'm going to find a way to watch it. How can people get their grubby little ears on these, Autumn?
You can go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and become a patron there. There's lots of options for Patreon tiers. For the dollar a month or more, you can get the Casting Call Chaos and also Radio. You get a shout out every week that we do the show. You put it at the beginning of the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then,
no, the shout outs go at the end of the show.
At the end. I'm sorry.
Producers go at the top.
Yes. You also can ask us questions, or you can ask our guests questions for $5 a month. You'll also get everything above, right? You can get the Casting Call Chaos. For $10 a month, you get our movie club and you get to send us a staff pick. So the movie club and the casting call is something that we post just on Patreon that you listen through the app, and it doesn't come through your normal podcast feeds. So the only way to hear our fun things is to go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. You can also join for $25 a month and get the producer credit at the beginning of the show and also a custom illustration from Tim.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if I owe you one, let them know, or let us know on the Patreon page.
Yes, please do. You can get in touch with us any old way you want.
Yes.
But let us know if you're like, what? I've been donating and I never got anything. Just let us know.
All right.
$50 a month, you can come be a guest on the show, and $75 a month, you can get ad space that we read on each episode. So what is that? 4 episodes a month.
Yeah.
You get
and any special episode we do, yes.
Yep, and you can send us exactly what you want us to say, and we'll say that. You can give us information about it, and we'll talk about it and riff about it and give everyone the important information. Any way you prefer it, we'll do it. It's only $75 a month, so go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews for that.
Speaking, thank you, Autumn. Speaking of that sponsor, number one, Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. Yes, Atlanta Pizza and Gyro, 1565 Georgia, 138 in Conyers, Georgia. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro is a longtime local favorite. They have the best pizza, gyros, Italian beef sandwiches, hot subs, spaghetti, lasagna, and Greek salads in a classic, relaxed, casual setting. Since 1983, check them out on Twitter, ATL Pizza Gyro. That's ATLPIZZAGYRO. And when you're out there, tell them Radio Labyrinth sent you. We have a guest this week, another guest this month. I'm really liking the guest format here. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys are too. Our guest tonight is a filmmaker, a producer, a guy who makes TV commercials. Also, I guess, reality shows, at least a sizzle reel. And, that's right, he's a filmmaker. Please welcome the man who gave us the classic John Rocker-led horror flick, The Greenskeeper, Mr. Kevin Green.
Hello. Thank you. I like to say John Rocker vehicle.
Vehicle. Yeah, I couldn't think
John
of that
Rocker
word.
Vehicle.
Vehicle.
He didn't stutter much in that movie. if you haven't seen The Greenskeeper came out in the year 2001.
By the time it came out, that sounds right.
Yeah, 2001, and there's a whole bunch of people in it, and people that if you're familiar with me, Autumn, Kevin, Southside Steve. Southside Steve actually is in one of the.
Is Larry in it?
Yeah. Yep. One of the main characters.
I saw Eric and he was like, get out of here, you bums. Or
no,
whatever.
He didn't say anything.
He's like the old man.
Yeah. Did you watch it? I watched it,
but I was watching for Larry and I never saw him.
He was the milkman.
He had a pretty good part.
Okay.
He's the funniest guy in the whole movie.
I just didn't recognize him.
He really did a great job.
Yeah, he was fantastic. But not only that, Kevin worked with me, and he worked with Autumn at 96 Rock back in the Clear Channel days. I don't know when exactly, but when did you jump on board there?
I'd say 04 to 06-ish in there. You know, they just killed 96 Rock, I feel like, right?
They just got
in the Braves. That was a... Can I say all this?
Yeah, I don't care.
That's a bad idea, wasn't it?
What, getting the Braves?
Well, because it killed 96 Rock.
Yeah, it destroys your station.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because it was like... We got to play more Fleetwood Mac and Beatles to match the demographic. But
when you put a baseball team on the rock station like that, you're correct. You can't go, all right, here's the new one from anybody, because they don't want to hear new music.
No.
And the demographic of people that listen to baseball on the radio has changed. And even back, when was it, 2004 is when they got it, right?
Yeah.
Because I left and went over to Dave FM. And I was at Dave FM throughout all of for almost a little over a year, maybe even a year. And then I ended up going back to 96 Rock in 2005.
That's right. Promotions director?
I was promotions director, but the regular guys, after they got fired, were brought back
in
2005.
That's right.
And Larry and Eric, brought me on kind of like as an assistant producer and, just do voices and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really how it all got ramped up for me on that show.
So you were promotions director for most of that time.
I was from 2000 to 2004.
And then Autumn and I were sort of promotions in the promotions department, would you say, Autumn?
Yeah, I was in promotions.
So we would go, like, in this van. I think one was it called the Dank Tank?
The Dank Tank.
That was
In fact, Jeep. Someone had sex in the Dank Tank. Do you remember
that? I'm sure
that?
More than and one person
in trouble,
did.
Yeah.
Who was that? No, don't say their name.
I do know their name.
Yeah.
But I won't say. And so Autumn and I would go out to, like, Cochrane and give out chip clips and pins at the at the Puddle of Mud show.
Yeah,
all night, like hang banners, and we would just hang out all night, or we'd go in the middle of the day to
set up a table under a tent, and then people would come by people waiting in line to get into a concert at the Tabernacle.
What you
and
got?
They'd think that someone important was coming. But it was really just us sitting there.
Just hanging out.
People don't understand that. The promotions people in radio, they're some of the hardest working people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they bust their ass. They have to set up equipment. They don't make a lot of money.
No.
And I don't know that they'll do this anymore, but you used to make, if you were doing a sales gig, you used to make a producer or a promotion fee. So you got $1.50, $75 an hour. And they would usually, if you did a bar gig, you get paid in cash.
Yeah.
But they did away with all that. And,
yes.
Because you know, corporations are
scuzzy. What, do they have hourly or something?
No, well, some went hourly, and other ones, the Clear Channel, when we were there, started putting it into your paycheck, so they had to do it that way.
Yeah, I remember they took it out. They took it away.
Yeah, you weren't allowed to pay cash.
You used to pay in the prize closet, right? I just got, like, thousands of DVDs and CDs.
Oh,
and,
back in those days, Jeff, I would, Jeff's closet, I'd give him, here's a bunch of shit, I'd bring home a bunch of shit, throw it on eBay. A lot of it I would throw on eBay.
Tickets and things?
No, nah, not so much use. Tickets I wouldn't sell.
You wouldn't sell, but you would use them to get things.
Oh, yeah.
I could, like, disco around and sell them all. And sell it all.
The CDs, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I would, yeah, I'd take the DVDs. But I would do it. One time, I think I've told the story before, there was a motorcycle helmet as a grand prize for some video game giveaway. Because I said yes to everything.
Right.
And then I would just give them an air check, you know. And I had this motorcycle helmet. I put it on eBay, and I went away, and I came home in a couple hours. I think I sold it for $800.
$800?
Yeah.
God.
And one time I had this Led Zeppelin promotional inflatable. It came out when they had to put a box set or something, and I put it up, and that got really high.
You sold that?
No. It got taken down by Warner Brothers.
Really?
Yeah, and I was worried I'd get busted for it, but I never did.
But you were trying to sell it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you can't sell an inflatable bottom.
Two?
Mm-hmm.
It was Zeppelins that you blew up.
And wow.
They were promotional, but people really wanted it. So I found the person who had the last highest bid, and I said, make me an offer. I'll sell that to you. So, but, you know, more than promotions, you have worked in as a producer. And how long have you been doing film and video?
God, I mean, college, I really kind of started my first, just kind of PA.
Right.
As a PA on a...
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Mercer.
All right, so you went. That's in Macon, right?
In Macon, that's right.
So you've been in Georgia for a while. Film scene wasn't really that big back then, right?
It wasn't, and I shouldn't have gone. I just went to a four-year college because that's where my parents, you know. I knew I wanted to get into movies and always liked movies and weird movies and all this, but I was not encouraged around my house.
No.
We had like four movies. We had like Batteries Not Included, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, and so
behind the green door.
Behind the green, yes, my dad had that under his bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working at a golf course at college. Well, that's where I got the idea from the greenskeeper. And I don't know if y'all care. You didn't ask me where we got the idea from the greenskeeper, but I was just thinking about this time in my life. And so there's a hole. It's called a hole maker, and you kind of puncture it in the ground.
That was my favorite kill in the movie.
Oh, thank you, Jeff.
The hole in two, was that what you called it?
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate that. Yeah. I really would make the hole, and then we kind of put the pin in it. You kind of shove this thing in the ground, and you turn it, and pulls out dirt, and you kind of put the pin in it.
Right.
So my coworker, I was like, if I did this in your chest, I could probably pull out your heart. And I kind of looked around the greenskeeper's shed, and I was like, there's several instruments of death here. So I kind of just kind of did that and kind of semi-wrote it and then just – but never really thought I'd actually be able to do it because, I mean, back then, I mean, it was on film.
Right.
It was on – you had to get a film camera, just your film cost, just the insurance. It's just – now it's so much.
You just use your phone.
Yes, you can use their phone. They're a good movie shot on their phone.
And you can put a film effect on it if you so desire.
That's right. Now they have like an $8,000 lens on it, but they still – you could shoot it. There's several movie shot on their phone. Mm-hmm. But now – so back then, the odds of getting it done were just so stacked against me. So I begged, borrowed, and stealed and borrowed money from everybody, from my ex-girlfriend's dad to whatever, to make it happen. And then it blew up because I think, like you said before, Rocker ended up, well, I guess I knew, so Southside Steve, I wasn't in radio yet, and Southside Steve was doing appearances, and I knew kind of if I approached him, it'd be a good publicity to get him.
So is that how you met Steve?
It is.
So you have the idea for the film.
Right.
And had you pitched it to anyone yet, the studio or anybody to give you money?
I didn't know how to get in front of a studio.
Okay.
You know, so I just said I got to do it myself. I read lots of books on low-budget filmmaking. I was like, screw it, I'm going
to
do it myself.
You had to be inspired somewhat by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Absolutely. By Kevin Smith. And there's tons. I mean, there's lots of, I mean, Robert Rodriguez, right? Mm-hmm. Did El Mariachi. Now, granted, these guys, they say I did it for $7,000.
Right.
Well, they made it for $7,000, but then a production company came in post, added a soundtrack and cleaned it up for them. And so when they say they did it for that, they didn't really do it for that. But yeah, absolutely. Kevin Smith, that was a huge inspiration because he had just kind of done that.
Right.
Put it on his credit cards. But so Southside Steve is going to like a furniture warehouse, right, in Marietta. So I was like, listen to the show, and I was like, he sounds very, you know, approachable and affable. So I asked him, and he was excited about it. And so then I thought, well, maybe he will be a key to some B-star. So I did get in contact with some producers and some distribution companies.
Right.
I talked to Lloyd Kaufman from Troma. Like the nicest guy. He actually called me. I left a message, right? You call, he's like, hey, this is Troma. And he's like, and he's the just the nicest, funniest guy. And he's like, you know, leave a message. So I did, and he called me back.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, a lot of people don't know who he is, but I mean,
yeah,
Lloyd Kaufman is a
legend
in Troma and Toxic Avenger. Anyways, so I talked to a distributor, and they were like, look, you got to have stars. You know, we need tits. We need stars. We need, you need Jeff Fahey and some tits and some guns and some cars wrecking. And it's got to be 90 minutes. And there was all, back then, there was all these rules. You know, Blockbuster and everyone just determined exactly what to do to make
it. That's right.
Now it can be, the length has changed. You don't have to have a star anymore. It's just, it's totally different. You had to shoot on film, all this kind of stuff. So then, you know, my distributor is like, you know, you need Burnson, you need Fahey, you need William Catt.
William Catt.
So, yeah. So
you reach out to Busey?
I did, Busey.
He wasn't interested?
He was interested.
Yeah, I'll do it, man. I did the Gingerbread Man.
He did Ginger Dead Man.
Ginger Dead Man, yeah.
Busey was interested. Corbin Burnson was kind of interested. Anna Nicole Smith, I actually called her, and they picked up on her home line.
Wow.
Her like, boyfriend sounded like he just beat her, and he picked up. And he was like, I don't know, man. I don't know if she's interested. And then, so, anyways, I got. He said, I got to have a star. I got to have some sort of star. So I got to Steve, said, Steve, surely you know some stars. And he's like, you know, I know Travolta. I was like, I know you don't know Travolta. He's like, I know D.B. Sweeney. I was like, all right, he'd be fine. He'd be good. I know Webster. I know Rocker. But I never thought Rocker would do it because he had just hit it. I mean, he just hit it in the media.
Right.
And gone. I mean, you remember how. People don't remember how it was.
It was 99, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, that's right. It was like 99 right into 2000.
Because the Yankees played the... No, it was after that. Must have been
2000. I think it was 2000.
Because the Yankees swept the Braves in that series in 99, which was wonderful. But then in 2000, the Yankees played the Mets. So anyway, go ahead. Yeah, asked him about Rocker.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, people don't remember how big of a story that was.
No, it was huge.
It was huge. So I was like, well, he's not going to do it because he's now, he's right, he's the...
He's
I
having
mean,
a moment.
Yes, like there's no way his publicist...
Yeah, I'll do it,
is gonna, of course, I think his cousin is his publicist, but whatever. So I was like, all right, call him up. And so Steve called him up, and he was like, well, I mean, and what's so amazing is he never read the script. He had never read the script.
He didn't have very many speaking lines.
He didn't have any lines.
Well,
so.
And you know, another thing, too, I'm about to give us some Greenskeeper behind the curtain. Ooh. Anyone cares? They're actually about 20 guys in Malaysia that care right now. He actually had, at the end, he's supposed to sing Happy Birthday to You, because it turns out it's his son's birthday in the movie, and he sings Happy Birthday to You. He's not that bad of a guy, singing Happy Birthday to You, but then we found out later there's copyrights on it.
That song.
It turned out not to be true, though.
So, years later. It's not?
No, they found out because for like years and years, they always said if you sang Happy Birthday on TV or whatever, you had to pay.
Well, even in restaurants.
Right.
That's why those places have like Happy Birthday or something. Like
just 2 or 3 years ago, they came out and said that was not true and you can sing Happy Birthday.
Happy Birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Let's do it now.
No, let's not.
Well,
we director's cut.
Yes. We didn't use it, so we pulled out his few lines, and then we had to get someone to do his lines, and I knew calling him was not going to be. He did not have the best time on the set, and so
I want to hear more about that a little bit.
Not everyone likes being on sets, right? It's a lot of sitting around.
I used to work for a company that produced commercials. We shot everything on film primarily.
Wow!
And we did a commercial. One time for two or three radio stations. These are commercials just for radio stations. And it was a big thing. We shot at a school off of Briarcliff or whatever. And we were there for 18 hours straight just to shoot a couple of 30-second commercials.
Yeah.
And then one night I was a PA freelancing for a Wolf Camera shoot. Remember Wolf Camera?
Oh, yeah.
And that guy that ran Wolf Camera, he was there.
Chuck Wolf.
Yeah. That commercial shoot ran from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock the next morning.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, fuck that. I was like, I'm not doing this for $50 or whatever I got paid.
The hours are brutal.
Yeah.
And some people get there and they love it. Like me, I love it. I'll sit around all day on it. But other people get there and they hate it.
Doing script notes?
You sit around. You don't do anything.
Like continuity or
yes.
something.
Yeah. And Rocker had to go through a bunch of... And again, he was a good enough sport to do it, you know, and he's a nice enough guy. But he hated it. He hated it. And so I knew afterwards, I was like, I cannot call him to come in and do some lines later on.
Right.
So we all got together and said, who has the biggest country accent of any of our friends that we know? So we brought people in, and guys would come in and audition. The line was like, you know, Alan, you know, I'm so sorry. And the guy would be like, man, Alan, I'm so sorry. We'd be like, ah, it's kind of like it. So we finally like cast a guy to do that line. So that's not him speaking in the movie.
Really?
Yes.
I always thought it was.
Well, I appreciate that.
Now, Jeff did watch it this weekend, right?
I did, on Amazon. I paid $2.99.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
I sent him a link to the YouTube.
You did, and the YouTube video cut out.
It's out of sync.
It did not have the ending, so I was mad, so I went and watched it.
And they put in their own titles. There's weird things that get done to that kind of stuff.
I paid the $2.99.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
No.
I figured.
Who gets that $2.99?
Not me.
Do you see any of that?
No, not
a nickel of that.
I didn't see it. No. I signed like the worst contract ever. You'd think I'd never seen Behind the Music because I signed that same contract and screwed up.
What happened?
What they do is there's no cap on their expenses.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I didn't think about that. So,
and their expenses are marketing.
Yes. And it's always, right. So actually our international sales are like 400 something grand. We did pretty well. Again, we're huge in Malaysia and Guam and Venezuela. And every time we would get our numbers back, it would be a couple thousand above what we had.
Right.
We'd always be in the red.
Wow.
So it'd be like, yeah, your numbers are $389,222.
What a weird coincidence.
Yeah. And they're like, well, you know, we had to cut another trailer. That's another 25 grand.
How does a movie like that get so big in, say, Malaysia?
You know,
is that where they do the marketing?
Well, horror does very well over there.
Okay.
Because horror is kind of universal, right? Everyone knows someone's in distress, they're screaming, there's an axe. They're chopped. So they understand. It's kind of a universal genre. We did really well in Japan. I think it's because it translates well.
Yeah.
As opposed to some dramas where they're not going to get
blood is red everywhere.
Manchester by the Sea is hard to kind of to understand when you're a boy living in a village in Malaysia.
Right.
But
John Rocker cutting somebody up with a.
Well, you know, and shears. See, and see, here's the thing. They never even advertised he was in it over there. In fact, we would talk to our distributors out west. They didn't even know who he was out west. In L.A., they didn't know who he was.
Really?
Yeah. They had no idea. So we had to get more stars. Like, great, we need more stars.
Well, let's do the cast real quick. So we have, I don't know how to say it, Alan
Ruggiero, who was technically a member of the Dead Poets Society.
Yeah, the redhead.
He was
just the least
geeky one.
Meeks. Remember Meeks?
He was the rat.
He was not the rat.
No, the other redhead dude was the
rat.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Can't remember what his name is.
Yes. Thomas, yeah, that's right. Wanda punched him, right?
Right.
But Meeks, so he has the, he was
Meeks
the least
was
popular.
The dude to build the radio.
That's right.
That's right, with the tall guy. So that's right. We had Meeks, who wasn't a star, but he's in the Dead Poets Society.
Right.
So that kind of meant something to us.
And you had Ron Lester, rest in peace.
That's right. R.I.P. Ron Lester. So when I first got a hold of him, I told the distributor, look, I got the large guy from Varsity Blues, right?
Right.
And he was kind of hot at the time. He'd been in Good Burger, right?
He was in Good Burger.
Yeah. And he'd been on a show on WB, popular.
Yeah.
So he was decently hot, I guess.
I don't know who Bruce Taylor is.
He hasn't done a lot.
Okay.
But the funny thing about Ron Lester is that when we picked him up from the airport, we didn't know he had had the surgery.
Oh,
so my little PA guy is like, I cannot find him. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, I cannot find him. And he weighed 180 pounds.
Wow.
And so no one knew. I thought about making him bigger in the movie, you know, putting a fat suit on him. I was like, that would not be a nice thing to do at all, you know?
Go ahead, Autumn. Were you going to say something?
Nope.
Oh, I was just going to, oh God, I almost did Jared there. She's going to say, you got to wonder if all that surgery and weight loss, because he died of liver and kidney failure,
he
right? And that must have been that up and down and all that. Or maybe he did something.
Well, he had like a bunch of operations to remove excess skin.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there was like infections and
yeah.
You know,
he had a lot
sad.
Of bad reactions.
And he told me too, he's like, I'd never do it again because I never got a role after that.
No.
Especially in this piece of shit Greenskeeper movie you guys have put me in, right? So I was like, I mean, it was kind of, I really felt, he was a nice guy. I really felt sorry for him because he just said he, at least he could be the funny big guy.
He was a nice dude. I remember he was on the show, The Regular Guys, a couple times. And Autumn, were you around then? Were you involved in this at all?
I don't remember. When it was when was it
2000, 2001.
Okay.
Because Tim Frazier,
I think I was around for the end of it because I came around in like late. No, it was I came around like in 2001.
Okay. Yeah. 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 All right. Yeah. So you would have been. All right.
So I think I saw the movie somehow. Yeah, we were all sitting and watching it. Oh, it was projected at the golf club?
No, we had the.
What was that one?
We had the premiere at Star Time in Roswell.
That's right. I think I have a picture of maybe both of you at that.
You do?
Yes, I think I do.
We had the whole thing. We had the limos and the whole shit. We put on a good show. We used to have fun doing that kind of stuff.
Something did take away from the big premiere when a blue golf ball rolls across your red carpet.
Yeah.
Right, because people are playing putt-putt.
Yes.
Literally.
Excuse us.
10 feet from you.
Movie premiere here. Also starring Melissa Ponzio, who she played a mother on Teen Wolf.
Totally legit now.
Yeah.
She's on like Chicago Fire or something, and she absolutely made it.
She did. Unlike Allison Culp.
Well, here's the funny thing is they all moved to L.A. I mean, like all the people you just
the
read.
Girl, the girl, Allison Culp?
Allison Culp did. Some of the other ones did.
The Playboy model, Christy Taylor.
She did not. She didn't move to
L.A. She didn't show her tits in the movie.
She did. No, she did.
I thought she didn't do it.
No, she did.
Okay.
She didn't want, at last second, she was not, she didn't want to do it.
Oh.
And so I was like, you know, how do you tell someone? Yeah, I talk about feel like a sleazy producer.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
like, let's just try one without the shirt.
When we were on the casting couch earlier, you said you were going to take the top.
It was, and she was sweet, and those are her real breasts.
Real knockers.
And then no one else really did too much. Winger.
Kip Winger did the music,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And your makeup guy, Roy Woolley, has gone on to quite a bit of stardom in the makeup industry.
How about Jeff?
Yeah.
He did. He won that show where they do their makeup.
The Face Off?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he came back as like a super, or whatever, when they bring back like the best of contestants, he was on that.
And I felt sorry for him too, because again, I'd be like, look, man, here's $50, a peanut butter sandwich, some super glue, and some Karo syrup. I need a head to explode. Right?
Hey, this guy, Jamie Rennell, he's got some acting work.
Yeah, and he does a lot of voice stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when you do it, you really get close to these people, because people are volunteering their time. I mean, it's like they're not getting paid.
Here's your bio on IMDb that says you really haven't made it yet. Michael Short is an actor known for The Greenskeeper.
Yeah, yes.
Paranoid and Test Group. He could be a very delightful actor. Right?
Yeah, yes. Well, a good Michael Short, and if he's listening, then I don't think he'd mind me telling this, but a good story about him is one of the producers went into the bathroom, mm-hmm. and his rear end is, so he gets put on a ball washer.
Right.
Yeah, and you can guess what happens there.
Mm-hmm. But was that inspired by the Caddyshack Bill Murray scene? At all?
It was. Okay. Right. You know, it's funny though. We didn't show a ball washer. It's things you don't think about as you're doing it. So people, you'd be surprised when people would be like, "What's happening?" And I'd be like, "He's getting his balls washed," but they don't know what a ball washer was. But anyway, somebody went in and he knew he was going to be lifted semi-naked, and he was. Should I say this?
Yeah.
I mean, straight up standing on the counter in the bathroom, shaving his ass like in the mirror.
Who was doing that again?
I'm not gonna say. You have to rewind it. I'm gonna say.
All right.
Nicest guy in the world.
gotta get that next camera ready, man.
Yeah.
So
it did look good.
So Greenskeeper gets released.
Yes.
How much media coverage did it get? Because I remember, and I'm looking at the notes, but how much did it get? You must have had a good buzz right after it came out.
It was
of Rocker.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was.
Were you
ABC,
on Larry
NBC,
King?
Larry King. I'd had a quote on Larry King.
Okay.
It was every new show. You got extra. All these flew in to do do stories on it. I was on every radio show we were on. I mean, I honestly didn't know what to do because I didn't plan for that. I wrestled with doing it at all, right?
Mm-hmm,
I mean, I didn't agree with his politics necessarily. I don't think he's a bad person, but I didn't agree with his politics, and I was worried a little bit about some sort of backlash, I guess.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Tim, I didn't know how to handle it either. I was like, I didn't want to exploit the guy necessarily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I look back, and sometimes I think, maybe I should have made his character, you know, like a struggling homosexual artist, right, from the inner city.
Yeah, and man, I'm a struggling artist. And I'll suck your dick.
And he never read the script, so I could have made him do whatever I wanted. Because I remember at one point, I was like, right here, John, this is where you explode. And he's like, what? I explode?
He could have realized. He could have been a love interest for the police guy.
That's right. I realized I never, he never read. So he agreed to this without reading any of it.
That's cool. Just because he was buddies with Steve, right?
Yeah. And I guess I think he was kind of cool like that. He was like, whatever. Like, you just dive in with something.
Right.
But so, yeah, it was my dad didn't even know I had made the movie because I just wasn't telling my parents I was making it.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell my parents.
No. He read it in Sports Illustrated, mm-hmm. and it was like Kevin Green, a quote from Kevin Green about this movie. And he was like, not my.
That cannot be. That must be the football player.
He's in class with his chemistry major, and that's how my parents found out.
Wow.
So it was just.
Did you not tell people because then it's people asking you about when it's coming out and sort of.
Well, there was that. There was that, and my parents just, I think, shame would have hit them.
Yeah.
Right. And and in general too, I didn't want to. In fact, it was the regular guys, right? It wasn't done yet.
Right.
It wasn't mm-hmm. close to being done yet, and then it got announced on the show on the regular guys, which was good and bad because then I had distributors calling me like crazy.
Yeah, we want this
now.
Let's go.
Now it's got to be out now. So we weren't done. We were out of money. We need to raise more money to finish it. It was maybe 80% done. And mm-hmm. they're like, just paste it together and just send us what you got.
Wow.
That's why it's so choppy. And that's all we had.
So you didn't have enough time to really finish editing it the way you wanted it, right?
No, no. In fact,
you got to do a director's cut.
I do need to. And I'm going to add in, you know, Lucas style.
Yeah. All right.
I will add in some stuff. Although he added stuff to scenes that are already good. I'm going to make bad scenes better.
I'm going to put this giant lizard camel.
I mean, the worst. I mean, really, stuff that was already good.
The job of the Hutt.
He changed. When he steps on his tail.
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me cringe. So I'm going to try to make something bad better.
You're right, Autumn.
He's making something good worse.
Yes.
But anyway, so yes. But then even our distributor said, do you have any footage for extra footage? And I was like, no.
No.
I don't have one frame. Like, everything is in this. I have nothing left. So it's really pasted together. And that's why it's so choppy, because there's entire chunks of scenes missing, because he was hot and they were like, we got to get this thing out now. So, I mean, it was good and bad, you know. Mm-hmm. It was.
So is Colin Kaepernick going to be in the sequel?
I would love that. I would love that. I would love that to show my absolutely. I'm sticking away from any controversy from here on out.
So there's a Trivial Pursuit question.
That's,
you made it to Trivial Pursuit.
That's correct.
What's the question?
I wish the question was, what's the name of the movie, but no one would get it.
Okay.
But it was, who's the controversial baseball player that was in a horror movie called The Greenskeeper.
Okay.
And my brother was at a friend's house, and that was his like pie question. That
no
he,
way.
Wow. Yeah, yes.
His pie question.
Yes.
And he got it right.
Nice. So yeah, it's got this weird legacy. And I think it's just because
your parents don't get it right. They're like,
I don't know.
While I was watching the movie, I thought Radio Labyrinth ought to start giving out their own awards, the Labbies.
The Labbies?
Yeah.
And ooh, I like that.
The Labby for best fake smoking in a movie goes to Southside Steve.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. The Labbies.
I'm writing down the Labbies. Now, I would love to talk to Steve about this, but he hates me now.
No, he doesn't.
Really? Oh, sure.
No, he doesn't.
No.
So, when did Golf Digest bring you up as one of the top five most underrated golf characters?
That was like last month. That's kind of what sparked it again.
Okay.
And we're, by the way, Porterhouse is on the list, which we should never be even near Porterhouse from.
Where's Bagger Vance?
Caddyshack. Very, very low.
Greenskeeper's better than Bagger Vance. Fuck no.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's Will Smith. Let me carry your bag for you, rich white man.
Like, insulting to him.
Oh, no shit.
I know.
Let me carry your bags.
It was so bad. And, I mean, that guy's, have y'all seen 6 Degrees of Separation?
Yes.
Why doesn't he do more stuff like that anymore?
I don't know. He's a good actor.
Anyway, he's a great actor. But, so Porterhouse and Caddyshack was on it, and Bob Barker was on it, and... Johnny Miller was in a movie somewhere. But that kind of sparked, because again, I think people think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's just the execution was poor. So someone kind of called and said, hey, would you like to do another one? And I was like, I would love to try to do a better version of the first one.
Reboot.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was more of a reboot.
So it means Chaz ain't dead and you can play him again.
Well, we do need, I think Steve might be the one that we bring back.
Steve
like
now
Chaz.
Owns the country club.
They like Chaz.
What?
Oh,
Steve now
yeah.
owns the country
But he
club.
Dies in the movie.
Well, here's what I was thinking. I was thinking his
it's
nail.
It's his son.
It's his son.
Yeah.
So a nail, it goes into his head. You know, the Greenskeeper puts rusty nails in a tennis ball launcher and it goes in his head. So I'm thinking that the nail is still in his head, right? Because if they remove it, like his frontal lobe will collapse or something, so they have to leave it. But now he's a tennis pro at like an old folks home or something because it made him stutter bad or something.
So.
Yes. So he is spiteful at about the club because they fired him because the nail did something. But he still has the nail there.
And you have so many people in Atlanta now. You could find actors for this.
I know.
So easy.
I know.
And you could find famous people to be in it too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What's your, other than Greenskeeper? The Greenskeeper. What is the best golf movie?
Oh, man. I mean, I guess...
Comedy, drama, whatever.
Well, I guess Caddyshack would have best comedy, right?
Right.
Yeah. God, what other... I'm trying to think what else we have. We don't have a great batch to choose from.
Well, you have...
The one with Randy Quaid.
What?
Longest Drive or something like that.
I never saw that.
I wouldn't say... I mean, Happy Gilmore, you know, it's
Happy
fine.
Happy Gilmore is funny
but
movie.
Not better than Caddyshack.
No. Tin Cup?
Yeah. Tin Cup.
Autumn, what's your favorite golf movie?
I was going to say Caddyshack, only because I don't have a lot of other golf movies in mind.
You don't?
That are funny. Tin Cup is good. Yeah, I don't know. I think I it's got to be Caddyshack because I'm basic. But.
Okay. So, Kevin, you don't really like the movie, but it's because of the way it turned out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just, it's you know, you watch it and you think, I should have done that. I could have done this. Why did we do that? Why did we, you know, you put so much blood, sweat. I mean, making a movie is just insane.
Right.
I mean, there's so many moving parts. It's absolutely crazy. And we didn't have we didn't have a monitor. So we'd shoot something and we couldn't see what we just shot.
How did you edit it?
I edited it on, I had to put it on to basically on a video, edit on video then. Instead of cutting it on film because I didn't know how to cut film.
Did you digitize it and edit it that way?
Yes, okay. That's exactly right. So I digitized it, edited it that way.
Was and the then, output at that time good enough to where you didn't have to do online editing?
Yeah, it was.
Good.
Yeah, it was. So then you can put that and then you can cut your film if you're going to have prints
right,
to do that. But mm-hmm. then a print, then we later found out a print's $20,000, right? So when we played it at the theater you mentioned in Roswell, formerly Stardome, I projected it, which now I look back, I'm like, it's one of the first probably movies that was just...
Digital projection?
Yeah, I was like, see that square up there?
Yeah.
It's like, why can't I just get a projector and project it that way? And they're like, oh, I guess you can. Yeah. But what was embarrassing was before every time it came on, it'd say JVC.
Yeah.
and then you see the guy hit the play button.
Yeah.
Yes. That was... But I didn't know what else... So now, you know, like I've done more at theaters and it's all just... It's incredible how much has changed.
I got it on DVD.
I don't even know if... Don Knotts has it on DVD?
No, I got it. That was a Steve.
No, I got it on DVD, Jay.
And Steve, I mean, and again, all these people were... They work free and like they're all so nice to do it and there's long hours and...
Now
like,
if you did it, I bet you could get money. And I bet you could get a good budget, and I bet you could hire people.
Yeah, you could, and that's the difference, because when someone is a professional, they kind of have to stay, right? They have to do this. But other people, people just drop a light and just say, F this, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
I'm gone. So half your crew will just quit.
I'm a bad grip. Fuck y'all.
I did a movie with, I didn't direct it, but with Lee Majors, Tubbs from Miami Vice, and Michael Paré. From give me some Michael Paré movies.
Streets
name
of Fire.
Me three. There's one. Name me another one.
Duh. The best movie ever made.
Yeah. Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yes.
Two.
Eddie and the Cruisers 2.
Philadelphia Experiment.
Yeah.
All right. And
there's Michael Paré. On the dog side.
Yes. He didn't really sing, though, sadly.
No, he didn't. There's a river. The, what's
John
his name?
John Cafferty Beaver Brown Band.
We saw Brown Band. Concert, man.
No.
Yeah, we did.
Where?
Mansfield, Pennsylvania.
Yep. You're kidding.
Yeah. Jeff played football back then, so he had his. His North Penn Panthers hat, and he threw it on stage, and I think the lead guitarist put it on.
That is awesome.
They were like the poor man's Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that album.
We're just a bunch of guys from Jersey.
Yeah. That album, though, the Eddie and the Cruisers soundtrack
album,
was fucking
great.
It was. And that was not, and it was like not a bad movie.
No.
You know, the second one
was
a
real good movie. The second movie was stupid.
First one, I feel like, who's in it? What's
Tom Berenger, Ellen Barkin.
Ellen Barkin.
Yep. What's his name? The guy, you know, come on, Tim, why can't you think of it? Joe Pantaleone.
Oh, yes. Yep. Love him.
Right. And then the guy from Not Necessarily the News' twin brother.
Yes.
Whose name I don't remember.
Mitchell Lawrence.
Is that his name?
Maybe.
They had twin brothers.
Michael Lawrence.
Michael Lawrence, yeah.
Yeah.
Ellen Barkin is sexy. Even though half her face is asleep, she still sexy.
She was. Oh, that movie she did with Pacino.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great, that's a very, very underrated movie.
It's film noir, right?
Sea of Love.
Sea of Love. Isn't it kind of film noir?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit slower, slow burn.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a great movie. She's good in Diner.
She's good in everything.
She's good in everything.
Why just don't follow her on Twitter because all she does is talk politics. Anyway.
So, I'm sorry.
Says the kettle.
I'm allowed to. I work for a political station.
I know. I'm just
All right.
The Michael Pere,
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I've segued. Well, we don't have to go back to that.
No, what was it called again?
It's not a proper segue, I'm thinking. It's called Fate. It's horrible.
Fate?
Yes. Oh. Fate.
How'd you avoid ever having to work with, who'd you say earlier, Billy Zane?
I would love to work with
Billy Zane. Who was it you mentioned earlier?
Gary Majors?
No. The young guy that they put in everything. The guy from Lawnmower Man.
Oh, Fahey?
Yeah,
he's supposed to be a nice guy.
Is he?
I mean, Fahey, beautiful blue eyes.
What about Eric Roberts? Could you work with Eric Roberts?
I would love to. I would enjoy working with Eric.
I bet. He lived in Smyrna.
I mean, Fahey has these piercing blue eyes.
Yeah, man.
Remember Silverado?
Oh, yeah.
He's so good.
He was good on Lost.
Some of these people are so good, you know, and they're so good, and people forget because they end up in B-movies because, right, they just fall to B-movies, mm-hmm. and it's so easy to kind of poke fun at them, but a lot of them are really good. This is sad. So Roy Schreider talked about The Greenskeeper, and I refused to take him.
Because I was like, what do you mean he talked about it?
Well, his agent said he will do it,
this
and that. And I was like,
you.
I will not do that to Roy Schreider. I will not do that to him. I said, no, thank you.
You're going to need a bigger golf club.
No, thank you. I will not do that to that man. Mm-hmm. That, right? That guy's legit.
And he passed away shortly.
He did, not long after. But I was just talking about how crews will quit. The movie I did with $6 Million Man and all that stuff, like right in the middle of it, literally the crew was just like, we hadn't been paid in a week. We're gone. So it was me and the director and like maybe one producer and that's it. And Lee Majors and Michael Pray and Tubbs. What do you do with that?
Did they get pissed and quit too?
No, they didn't. They were professionals and they stayed through it. But I love to hear their conversations. You know, Michael Pray to Tubbs would be like, dude, I mean, do you remember when you actually were on like a legit movie that had real food?
What's Tubbs' real name?
Philip
Michael
Thomas.
Philip Michael Thomas.
Yeah. Nicest guy in the world. Speaks like six languages.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Can sing like a songbird. But that crew quit. We had to get Carnies came in to finish the movie, which is the God's honest truth because one of the executive producer owned carnivals.
That's awesome.
That's a story for another time. But
yes.
Anyways, yeah.
It's hard to make a movie.
It is.
Yes, Auden, thank you for bringing it back full circle.
It's hard.
It is hard to make a movie. There's so
many. And when
many
you don't have
parts.
Something huge behind you backing you.
Yes.
You right? I'm sure it's even harder.
So hard because there's just so much going on and so many things can go wrong.
And you want to be the artist behind the movie, but you also, when there's not like a big studio behind you, you know, doing all the paperwork and the administrative things and... I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot for one person to do.
Because in the end, well, thank you, Autumn. You're so
You're
sweet.
Welcome.
you are sweet, Autumn. But also, yes, because it has to sell.
Yeah.
Right? So back then, I think it was 7% of movies produced got distribution.
Wow.
And so you've borrowed money from your uncle and your cousin and your dentist and all that. So that fear drove me more than anything, right? Because mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I'd like to make this movie better and weirder and whatever. And, you know, horror's not even my favorite genre, right? But I did my research. It sells the best and blah, blah, blah. And so, I mean, that is what's the toughest part right there. Is this, you know how many movies I've had friends make that just sit under their couch? You know what I mean? They go nowhere. And they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and they go nowhere.
Wow.
That's
so
amazing.
That's, yeah.
So the movie you did after The Greenskeeper, didn't you do a vampire movie with Webster?
Oh, yeah. Well.
And Lucky, too, right?
Lucky Yates.
I did a, but Lucky wasn't. I don't even think. What happened to Lucky? I don't think he was.
No, he's on Archer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing
totally
fine.
Totally legit.
Yeah.
I think, was Lucky in that? I don't remember.
I thought that I feel like he was talking about a vampire movie.
Well, Webster was in a later movie that we got about half of it done, mm-hmm. starring Webster in a sci-fi movie. Never got it finished, ran out of money, blah, 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 blah. And then I did do a bad urban vampire movie that...
What was that called?
Well, it's been called a few things.
Okay.
My favorite title, which is called Alpha Gamma Die. Because it's a sorority. It's a sorority.
I think. Did I see it?
And I hope not, because I have another cut that I need. I'm going to put out there. But it was whole legal wrangling and all that.
And
stuff.
What is Webster's real name again?
I had my falling out during that with someone. Webster Emmanuel Lewis.
Yeah.
So he's not in that one.
No.
He's in another one.
He meme.
And Steve got Webster for us.
Right.
And so that one, but even the
D.B. Sweeney, man, he's still available.
I would love to get some D.B. I mean, D.B. Sweeney, another guy. Remember the Charlie Sheen movie, They're Stealing Cars?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
He was just on some series recently that my wife watched.
Autumn, the ice skating movie. I know you love it.
What ice skating movie?
Cutting Edge.
Yeah, The Cutting Edge.
Oh, Autumn, if you've not seen that, you must rent that.
He's in the Alien movie.
Yeah, that's right. From the sky, fire in the sky.
Yeah. Oh, the cutting edge. Yes.
That's a good guilty pleasure. But even the urban vampire sorority movie still made $100,000 and we never got paid.
Wow.
So now, the difference now is they're all gone. The middleman is gone. You go straight. Right. You go straight to him now.
Well, I remember hearing Adam Carolla talking about what was the first movie he did with the boxing one.
Adam Carolla is in.
That no, he made.
He made a movie. I didn't know that.
He made a. But he's making a bunch of documentaries
the Hammer?
Now.
Is that The Hammer?
Yes, The Hammer. Yeah. He talked about having Miramax behind it or something, and how he complained the same thing that you did, Kevin, about how they're saying that they're doing all of this behind the scenes and it's costing $30,000.
That's why there's no Clerks 3 too, because in Clerks 2, they had to sue the studio to get paid.
Really?
Money, yeah.
But he's making
because
the new
Silent Bob
movie.
Pretend that they're doing something and they're charging you for it. And then, like you said, they cut you come out in the red.
And the lawyers and everybody it's all like a big game. And they're like,
yeah.
So you want your money? Sue us. That's like,
and you can't. Yeah, and you can't.
That's like the standard.
You ask them to prove to you what did you do for this money, and they don't do it. And like you said, they just say, "Well, you can just sue us for the money."
Right.
All right. But, yeah. All right. I can afford.
And then
lawyer.
The people don't have enough money.
No. Yeah, and our contract, I think, even says something like, "We can do a poor job at marketing this." I mean, something that almost that bad. But we didn't have a lawyer. I didn't know how to read contracts. Right. You know, it was a famous company. You know, and so you
if
just...
you watch Get Shorty T, you see a lot of that on the series because a studio and they're talking about like they roll their losses from one film into another film.
Into another
it's like
one.
A big Ponzi scheme.
So now you can kind of circumvent all that because they have aggregators now. Basically, once you're on the format, right? You have a dashboard. Even you can actually see your sales. Mm-hmm. Before they would be like I will type out your sales and we'll mail it to you once a year. And so you sit there and your investors are going nuts. You're like, oh my. And then you get it. And of course, you're just, right? You just didn't make enough. So it's changed. I would not have gotten sort of back in it if it had not changed because it was pretty.
Now, last year, you did an indie comedy called In the Moment.
I did.
Now, you didn't direct it. You produced it.
That's right. I did.
So what does that mean? Were you the line producer or were you the money guy?
I was not the money guy.
Okay.
So I was more the I was on like a panel with the very lovely woman that was the wife in the movie Fireproof with Kirk Cameron.
Mm-hmm. don't know.
Anyways, and these guys came up afterwards and they were like, hey, we kind of halfway made a movie and you seem kind of like you might know what you're talking about, blah, 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 blah. Would you help us out? So, and I've been showing a lot of movies. Anytime someone comes out with that, like I've made a little movie with my buddies, it's always just unwatchable.
Right.
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 And my bar now is very low. I mean, because it's so hard to make a low budget movie. To me, if it's watchable, it's a C+.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
If it's watchable, then I give it kind of a decent grade because I know how hard it was to put it all together.
There was that Rutger Hauer horror movie that came out a couple years ago that was just god-awful, but it was so bad it was enjoyable, and it was on Netflix, I think, strictly Netflix.
God, Rutger Hauer's another one.
Yeah.
Fantastic actor.
Yeah. Now Sam Elliott's in some... You
piercing blue eyes.
Right. What was that shitty B movie that's on Netflix with Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott?
That's a really good movie.
It's not a shitty movie?
No, it's really good.
Oh, okay.
The what's Man Who Killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
Yeah, all right.
Is that's what it's called?
That's what it's called. Gosh. You assume it would be shitty by that
no,
title.
No, it's really fucking good. It's like a treatise on like old age and how we treat old people.
Oh, really?
Huh. Even though this dude actually fucking killed Hitler, he's like living in like this house just by himself and...
Oh,
no,
and then
nobody gives a shit about him at all. And he killed Bigfoot.
And he killed Bigfoot.
Yeah.
There's only one? Bigfoot.
There's only one, and his feet really aren't that big.
So,
I was just going to say, I tell you what is so hard with movies and these movies in general is when you can't try to make a guilty pleasure.
Mm-mm.
Right? Because people sense you're trying to make one.
And
it's
you can sniff it out.
You can sniff it out. And that's part of the problem in The Greenskeeper. What's a tonal change, right? It's all over the place. I thought, should we try to be scary? And then I thought we should try to be guilty pleasure-ish. You're right. People can smell it out. It's when you're so genuine about it, right? It's when you're so earnest about it, does it become a true guilty pleasure.
Right.
And so I made the mistake in that movie of being like, oh, maybe this should be a guilty pleasure because it's so bad it's good. And then I think sometimes you hate parts of it because you can sense us doing that.
Yeah.
But that sounds like it might be legitimate.
Yeah, it's a legitimate.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, watch it.
Like, Better Off Dead isn't exactly the best movie ever made. But it fits that criteria.
It fits that criteria.
That it's something I, if I see it on or whatever, I could watch a little bit of it.
I'll even watch One Crazy Summer.
Yeah. I actually like that movie better. Yeah.
I do too. Yeah. And Bobcat. Have you ever seen any Bobcat Goldthwait movies?
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good.
Especially Shakes so good. The Clown.
Oh, well, especially Shakes
the Clown. Like that?
Yeah.
Autumn?
Yes, of course.
Oh, but you mean the ones he's made as a director?
World's Greatest Dad.
Oh, yeah, those are fantastic.
Well, he directed Shakes the Clown as well.
Yeah. The dog.
Booth, the one with
Robin Williams?
Or Molly Shannon hooked up with her dog?
No, with
Sit or Stay.
So good.
What's the guy who's on Twitter? Patton Oswalt, that one?
Oh, yeah.
What movie was that?
Toll Booth or something?
The Fan?
Oh, yes, that's good.
He didn't make that.
He didn't make that.
Bobcat's not.
He didn't?
Rappaport's in. That's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
That's a great movie. That shows you how good an actor he is.
Yeah. Yeah, Oswald is a good actor.
He did the one with Bill Murray's brother, kind of an action.
What's that called? America.
Yeah,
it's great. Everything.
God Bless America.
God Bless America.
That movie's great.
It is great, mm-hmm. And I haven't seen the horror one. Maybe a Bigfoot. Have you seen that one?
He did a horror movie too. Willow Creek, I think it's called.
He's so good.
Yeah.
So I can't remember how we got on.
Not bad for a guy from Syracuse.
Yeah, Bobcat's a real good director also.
All right. So what is in the real quick, what is In the Moment about?
So it's about a girl who lives kind of a sheltered life, Greenville, South Carolina, you know, very sort of sheltered, you know, very parents are around, and she's kind of in this sort of white existence, small world, and she moves to the ATL to become an actress.
Okay.
So culture and hilarity ensues, but kind of culture clash. She moves to College Park. She has no idea what College Park is, and so she kind of has to adjust to growing up in this sort of sheltered life.
Another Southside Steve vehicle.
Lisa, I wouldn't call it a vehicle for Steve.
Pessimistic bartender.
Yes,
that's
he
his
does.
Character.
He does. He does have a line in it. But it was funny too. So I think I told you the guys approached me about it, and this guy's very talented. The guy's directed now, Miles Triplett. And so he just needed help, kind of we had to re-edit and do some reshoots and all that to kind of help getting through it. So at the beginning of the movie, I watched some of it. At the beginning of the movie, it was supposed to be her hometown graduation party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching it, and I'm like, but you know, kind of all, she doesn't really have any, like, white friends. And it's supposed to be kind of like a real kind of white girl, moves to Atlanta and gets some black friends. And so I asked the guy, I was like, you know, I love this and love that, but there's, you know, there's part of the party at the beginning. She doesn't really, and he's like, yeah, no, you know, we don't know any white people. And I was like, well, not that he doesn't know any. He's just like, I don't know how do you get 40 white people to show up for free to shoot an indie movie? I was like, well, you know, if there's one thing that Craig's Kevin list. Green knows, it's a lot of white people.
Yeah, a lot of white people. Yes.
So I said, let's redo this.
It's your time to shine.
Yes, let's redo this. I'll call in my white people.
come on.
And then you just get that contrast because, again, she's very sheltered. She doesn't have a whole lot of black friends. She moves to Atlanta. She ends up living with all black folks. So it's kind of, you know, fish out of water, but mm-hmm. learning how to coexist and learning about different cultures, and she grows in the process. And yeah, I like it. It's got a nice, sweet tone.
Where can people find it?
So it'll be out on video in about a month, which I think Vudu, wow. Amazon, iTunes, and then we'll wait on who. You know, you do all that before you do Netflix and Hulu because they pay you
zip.
Yes, and they pay you flat. Everybody else pays you per. So. Look for that. I enjoy it.
And you're in production right now?
That's right. So that guy, Miles, is doing another movie that I'm producing, kind of a more of a thriller.
Benefits.
Yeah, Benefits.
And that's what it's called?
Well, for now. He likes that.
Is it about
Aetna? I don't like that yet.
Kaiser Permanente?
You're exactly right. It's a horror movie. It's like an insurance horror movie.
No way.
Yes. So, I mean, don't think of that being the...
Old people who can't get... pre-existing coverage.
It's about somebody is killing people off to get the benefits.
Or they see their deductible.
Yeah.
Yes.
I must kill my agent. So it's less about that. That's the MacGuffin or whatever. That forwards the story, but that's not. It's more of an office sort of thriller. Well, you need an office.
Need any white people for that? I know a couple.
Yeah. I mean, I need, maybe a few.
Need any old white people.
You know somebody?
Yeah, me. I'm 50. Almost.
Well, maybe Greenskeeper 2 for
now
you.
Now that, well, yeah, Steve hates me. I'll never be
allowed
to.
No, I mean, I'm going to.
Why do you keep saying
ask
that?
Because he hates me.
Sent for what?
You've hit the big time. You hit the big time? Does he think that you're too good for him now?
No. I was annoying as fuck.
You just back
I drove him crazy. Oh, yeah. When Larry was let go and they brought Bailey in.
Oh, right.
I just kind of regressed.
Was Bailey on that show?
No, Bailey.
Oh, you're talking about his show.
When they fired
Bailey,
Larry.
They turned it into
Bailey and Southside after they fired Larry.
And it was on that station. I didn't
realize
that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you were all on that station.
Seabass left, and I was there, and I was just a complete... I was, by the time I got fired from there, I was like...
Really?
Yeah.
Were you on doing drugs?
No,
doing,
no, just...
Lloyds?
No, I call it cumulositis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and plus I knew Eric was over here at WSB, and I was really bummed about that because I would have rather worked with Eric.
Right.
So I made a... I've told the story a million times. I mean, a strategic decision. I said, if I can get fired, I can get out of here. I'm going to get fired and get out of here.
Really?
And I got fired and I got out of there.
Did you do something specific to get
No, they offered me the double.
All the groping and all
double,
that? Was that part
no,
of it?
that was just Autumn back in Croatia's day.
And I liked it.
Yeah, get on the elevator, bitch.
I think you need to call Steve.
I've texted him a couple times. I don't think he hates me, but I was annoying.
He hasn't responded to your texts?
No, he's responded to me.
Oh, have you sexted him?
No.
Well, there we go.
I'd like to get Southside Steve on this podcast, but I don't know.
He'll never do it.
Be allowed in the building.
Do you think
he'd be allowed in the building? My boss wouldn't care about
really?
That.
Really?
Or our boss?
You said you were mad to have Pete Davis in the building. So
no, we can have him in though.
Really?
Do you?
Well, now we can because their show's going off the air.
I had Larry in here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But Larry's not like currently working for another competitor.
I don't think Steve would ever do it, but if he wanted to, he's more than welcome.
All right, I'm gonna reach out to
Steve.
Well,
let's bring him out. I feel like we're old now. We need to kind of brighten in.
Well, he doesn't want any kumbaya moments.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Well, we didn't do any like hashing it out with Larry.
No, we didn't.
No.
But you just kind of got over it.
Yeah.
And didn't want to even.
I wrote him a long email explaining to him that I was sorry for being an asshole.
To him as well?
To Steve.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I don't, you know.
Oh, okay. He has a reality show coming out, and you can see that trailer.
Oh, I'm very excited about that.
If he really got a reality show, I would totally watch it. But reality shows now, they don't have any for, like, all right. It's going to sound.
They don't have any what?
For guys.
Oh, yeah. No, you know what? You're exactly right.
Well, they do, but
the Chess League guy on USA Network.
That ain't for guys.
No. Yeah. It would be right. It would be too male.
I know he's a male, but
it'd be too much male. Right?
Yeah, I think. I don't know. Maybe.
Steve's a sweet guy.
He is,
and he's gonna call Steve.
Here comes Southside Boo Boo.
And he's got a kid. And
hey, y'all, I like Skitty.
He's got a kid and all that stuff.
Right,
and
a beautiful wife. I think it would be a good show.
Beautiful wife. All right, so Greenskeeper 2. If you'd like to be in it, and there's no pressure.
I'll take the Ron Lester role.
Autumn.
I'll do it. I'll do it for free. No, I won't, but I'll do it if you want.
How much?
For free.
Day rate. Legit day rate?
No. I just want to be in it.
How about you get to hang out with Jeff Fahey?
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Is he in it?
No, but he got me excited about him again.
I think you can aim higher.
Corbin Burnson.
There you go.
All right.
If you need any voiceover for it.
The dentist.
Yeah, well, we need just female. We need this. Actually, this is going to be more female.
You got to show your titties.
Driven, I think.
I'm in Maryland.
Show your titties anyway.
Oh, well.
I'm showing them right now.
Hi, Travis.
Yeah, well, I want to get you guys in there somewhere. I can't promise to kill you, but.
I'm down for whatever help you need.
Okay.
And if you're really making it, we'll promote the shit out of it.
Yeah, I really
one of those guys pass out on the floor after smoking the bong all night.
Well, Jeff, I think we can give you something bigger than that.
You got to load it with real weed.
There weren't a lot of drugs in that movie, and hence my parents not.
Atlanta Braves' John Rocker was ordered yesterday to undergo a psychological evaluation. After the relief pitcher delivered a racist tirade in a Sports Illustrated interview saying, quote, imagine having to take the 7 train to Shea Stadium, looking like you're riding through Beirut, next to some kid with purple hair, next to some dude who just got out of jail for the fourth time, next to a 20-year-old mom with 4 kids. You know, I don't like the guy, but he's definitely been on the 7 train. And here now, with a New Year's wish to kick off the 21st century, is Atlanta Braves relief pitcher John Rocker.
Let's go. I'm John Rocker, here to launch us into a new millennium with a message of peace and love. First off, To all the mangy baboons who call themselves citizens of New York, may you spend the next 100 years watching the queer Mets go down on your homosexual Yankees.
Hey, John, John.
What, Quinn? What, Quinn? You shut up! What? What's your problem, you dirty chink?
Come on, John.
Shut up! What are you homo Mexicans looking at? Any of you ever been bow hunting? I bow hunt. I love my father. I like the Iron Eagle movies. You all ain't half the man my dad is, Popeye John Rocker Sr.
John, what about your message for the new year?
Right. Stay focused, Rocker. Daddy's watching.
Radio Labyrinth is brought to you by three wonderful sponsors. The second one of those sponsors is Monday Night Brewing, brewed right here in Atlanta. In fact, if you listened to last week's episode, you heard Aaron from Monday Night Brewing. We had a good conversation with him. And hopefully we'll be doing some really cool stuff there this year, especially around Jeff's 50th birthday, which once we talk about it more and have it locked in, we will tell you what that would be. They are served all over Georgia, Tennessee, and Alabama. Check out both Monday Night Tap Rooms in Atlanta, 670 Traybert Avenue Northwest in West Midtown, and The Garage, 933 Lee Street in Southwest Atlanta. Do you like that beer, Kevin?
I love Monday Night Brewing. I loved it. I listened to the podcast.
It was so good.
It's so good. I know.
Did you drink those varieties?
Slap Fight.
Yeah, Slap Fight's good.
Yeah, Slap Fight's good.
I drank half of one, and it was so heavy that I couldn't finish it, and then I brought the rest in and gave them to Jared.
Oh, okay.
Because I knew Jared.
He's a beer connoisseur.
And I gave him that cool t-shirt.
Right.
So hopefully I'll get another one, an extra large. Wink, wink.
Yeah, he's going to get that too.
I know he will. Check out their variety of award-winning craft beer. Autumn, I got you a little. He brought you a care package. It's in my trunk.
Yay!
And don't miss $4 Pint Wednesdays every Wednesday from 4 to 9 at the Garage, or Throwback Thursdays, where $12 gets you a pint glass and tickets for 6 tastings. Thursday nights from 4 to 9 p.m. in West Midtown. Keep your party going. Sign up for the Monday Night Brewing newsletter at mondaynightbrewing.com/radio. And you can follow them all over social media. Just look, go to your favorite platform and look up Monday Night. Now, speaking of Monday Night, I just had something in my head and I totally...
Yeah, so we actually had a question
from
Monday Night Brewing,
right.
From a Patreon Adam Kelly. He asked about the Blind Pirate, which used to be his go-to double IPA until the Blood Orange rebrand, which is, I guess, a rebrand for the beer. He asks, what prompted the change? Any chance at an original recipe release? And so I asked Aaron, and Aaron said that the quick answer is that the regular Blind Pirate didn't sell very well, and it's possible that they will release it sometime in the future, but not likely. So, womp.
Autumn, you said you had a movie idea. What's your movie idea?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Pitch it to Kevin. He's here.
Here we go.
I'm listening.
Listen.
Elevator pitch.
It's called Pitching Wu. And it's about an Asian guy named Wu.
Okay.
He's a pitcher.
Oh.
And he comes to the States. He doesn't speak any English. He doesn't understand the culture. And everyone in the locker room is against him because he's really, really good. And it's like, so he's really, really good. Okay. And then there's an owner of the baseball team, and it's his daughter starts showing up, who's very beautiful and very sweet, and the guy Wu is really into her but doesn't know how to like court her. So there's like a fun montage of him trying to woo her. He's pitching woo
yes
to her, and he's failing a lot because he doesn't understand the culture. And then I don't know how it's gonna happen, but then the guys on the team start liking him, maybe because they
girlfriend.
Start winning. Yeah. the guys start liking him, and so they start trying to help him get the girl. And so
I'm seeing Randall Park as the lead.
And so it's called Pitching Woo.
Yeah, sort of Gung Ho meets Mr. Baseball meets... Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I've had it in my head forever.
Let's do it.
I like that idea.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I love it, Autumn. Let's do it. All you need is about $2 million and
And then an Asian guy.
And
access to a baseball stadium.
Maybe we get the guy from Gung Ho.
And to know how baseball works.
Long Duk Dong?
What's he doing?
Long Duk Dong? Well, BD Wong is actually
this poor guy.
I don't know his real name. I did not know his real name. He was in that. Isn't he in Mr. Mom?
Getty Watanabe.
That is right.
Getty Watanabe. Yeah.
How does someone get away with naming his character
Long Duck Dong.
Only in the 1985.
Yeah, yeah, only in the 80s.
Oh, sexy and here's girlfriend.
Here's the thing, it wasn't, I mean, they were poking fun at him, really, but they weren't, you know, it's not that they were degrading him.
He was comic relief, and they're more making fun of the people around him.
Absolutely, right. They were.
What did he want? Sex.
I mean, so good. All right, I've got a movie pitch.
All right.
Okay.
It's called Opportunity Knocks Part 2.
Part two.
Tim could do it because of all his impressions.
Oh.
Didn't the first one leave you guys hanging?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Jeff?
Yeah.
Y'all, no one knows about that. It's terrible.
The what?
It's terrible.
Wait, what?
It's a bad Dana Carvey movie. And
I've never seen it.
You haven't?
No, oh,
it's bad.
No.
But it, his impressions getting is through all these sticky situations,
like
right?
Turtle.
It's not that one.
The trailer.
Oh, man, that one. No. I didn't see that.
Neither did
I. All I needed terrible. Was from that, yep. That trailer. Turtle.
Yeah.
Now, this is his first kind of real thing he starred in. His impressions kind of get him through sticky situations. Uh-huh. Could be done better. We could probably buy the rights to the first one for cheap.
How about Jerky Boys 2?
Yeah, we could do that.
Jerky Boys 2, we'll get him on it.
Jerky Boys, it was so funny, but then the movie just did not translate, did it?
No, I went and saw it by myself when it came out because no one would go with me.
You can't get Robert Loggia anymore, though.
And he's
no,
in peace.
No, but you can get Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's Frank Rizzo?
That's good, Alan Arkin.
I like people who see movies by themselves. I feel like that's something you could ask someone who immediately likes someone that, if you enjoy it, go to it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, there's no problem.
Plus, you focus more.
That's the way it used to be. I was living in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, working at the Union Mart, and then I got the job at Bob Evans as a manager. And on my days off, I'd go to Harrisburg and see a movie by myself, go to...
Those movies don't count, Tim.
Longhorn Steakhouse, and then go get a hand job.
You had to have tokens to see those movies.
No, at the Magic Butterfly on East West, I don't know what it was called.
Do you remember any movies you actually saw there?
Yeah, I remember a lot of them. Jerky Boys. What other movie did I see? Not the first David Spade movie. But the second one, Black Sheep.
Yeah.
What was a good one? Tommy Boy was good.
Was the better one.
Black Sheep sucked.
Yeah, Black Sheep was terrible.
So I saw that there.
Yeah.
I saw Kids in the Hall movie by myself.
Well, I saw that in the theater.
Brain Damage, which I loved.
You and I.
Brain Candy.
Brain Candy, yeah.
I loved it too. No one got it.
It's a pill that gives worms to ex-girlfriends. Yeah. You just don't get it. Love that movie.
I do too.
Yeah.
God, I saw Striptease.
Oh, right.
Striptease.
Which could have been worse, I think.
Yeah. I saw the unrated version.
Burt Reynolds?
No, not Striptease. I'm sorry.
Oh,
you're talking about the one
Showgirls?
Oh, no, that was bad.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. No, it's so bad. It's
that
good.
That was bad. That's right.
Oh,
you're
Showgirls
right.
is amazing.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Yes.
Where is she from? Different places.
Oh, well. Yes.
It's not that terrible a movie. No. I love that one guy is supposed to be Michael Bolton, though, I think.
Yes.
The real bad.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so
For
excited.
No reason at all, viciously rapes
yes,
that
there's
girl.
Absolutely no point to that movie.
Yeah. And my God, I love it.
Sex in the pool where she's thrashing around. That's so
yes,
ridiculous.
Yes, she's like, wait till you see my moves. Well, she kind of does it during the lap dance, and he like comes, I guess,
yes.
in wow. that room. And then what's her name? Shark, too many teeth in her mouth, is like real into it. She like spreads
Elizabeth
her legs
Berkeley.
Open. Yes.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan.
What was he doing trapped in that thing?
Why am I in this
Kyle
movie?
But that's Paul Verhoeven.
She calls
Verhoeven. Him
Versace.
Yeah,
right? We all know he's legit, Versace. Especially his, you know?
Yeah.
Then the mean guy who's mean in every movie, he was in The Goonies, right?
Yes, Michael Davi.
Yes, and he
the
like
strip club owner?
Yes.
No.
I love
yes,
that guy.
The strip club owner,
I do
yeah.
too.
He's a good actor.
He does such good evil.
The lady who's in that, who's the big lady who weirdly works, like there's this vaudevillian woman who
yes.
works at the strip club.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she like does that thing with her dress and makes her boobs come out.
Oh, yes.
She's in Orange is the New Black.
Who's she playing that?
I don't know. She's someone in the lunchroom or whatever. I don't
she's
know.
The lunchroom lady?
I only saw like the first season and a half of that.
Gee, that helps.
She was in the cafeteria in the mess hall or whatever.
Oh, all right.
I don't know. But anyway, I was very excited to see her. But yeah, what is that about? And then she comes in later, the vaudevillian lady and then the owner of the strip club, they come and see Nomi before the show at some point and are like this mother and father figure when earlier in the movie he was like, I'm going to come first and then I'll pay you money. Like, what is happening?
Saw another movie by myself called Mixed Nuts.
Oh, it was Steve Martin.
Yeah. Yes. Awful.
Awful.
Was that awful?
It was. Oh, my shit. Yeah, Tom Hanks' wife was in it, too.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It was, came she out on Christmas Day.
She had a bad run right there.
She has a name.
What's her name?
Rita Wilson.
Rita Wilson.
Yes.
Okay.
Rita Wilson.
Yeah. God. Terrible. I saw it on Christmas Day.
Toxic.
See, this is why we need to do our midnight movies. We need to bring back midnight movies to Atlanta.
We do.
But we'll do it at like 11.
Yeah.
So not really a midnight movie.
Why not a midnight movie?
Well, we could do it. I got a theater. We need to. We'll pick them.
Theater where?
In Sandy Springs, the Springs. He played. Maybe he said he'll do
the LaFont guy.
We could do this there, and we can promote it all we want. He's all in.
Is it still?
All
is it Bill?
Beer there?
Bill Tush.
No. He bought the theater. Everything's brand new. Beer, alcohol, food.
Oh my God! Let's do that.
We gotta do it.
We gotta do Radio Labyrinth movie. All right.
Yes.
And then we'll just get, and you get, you know, you can hire some of these. I saw that Bobcat one time came and did Shake the Clowns in Chicago, I think. And I came
and
introduced
exciting.
It. We can trick Burt Reynolds to come and, did you see that movie?
Oh no, but I heard it's, yeah, I've really got to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, tell Steve if he hasn't seen it, he's got to watch it. It's sad, but so good.
No, you're going to tell Steve.
No, you can tell. hey, let's do some headlines real quick. Apple did their big announcement this week. They are going to start their own streaming service with original content, movies and TV, and I believe it's going to be free if you have the device, right?
Their
content
service.
Though. Their content will be free.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I don't know.
But they'll have other shit on there too. But they're,
right.
You know,
another
they're,
thing you have to pay yeah, for. Yeah.
Well, they're taking on, you know, their platform is being used by everything else, that's so right. It's, you know, they may as well just. And you know what's going to happen eventually is like they do on cable or did on cable, they'll start packaging apps. So you can get HBO and this and this and this, and it'll just be like having
a la
channels.
Carte.
Yeah, yeah. Like a la carte, but they'll make a network and a tier for you.
Everybody just needs to steal the username and password of their parents' cable.
Well, that's what's going to happen. let's see. The U.S. Jordan Peele has quietly become the king of horror.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah.
Good for him.
The movies, I'm sure it's
I saw
fantastic.
The last half of it when I was waiting to see Shazam over the weekend.
Okay, how was it?
It was okay.
Of Us?
Yeah, I saw an hour of it almost.
How was Shazam?
Good.
I heard mixed reviews on that, but I still want to see it.
You chose Shazam over Us?
Yep.
Huh.
He That's always pricey. Chooses other things over Us. No, but the thing about Jordan Peele, I mean, that last movie he made was so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good.
Psychological thrill. If I can
Did
get my
not
wife.
Know what was going to happen.
Right. If I can get my. Exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing that we've talked about since we
the
started.
The trailer for the first episode of Twilight Zone, too, also dropped and it looks really good.
It does.
But the thing that we talk about all the time, we've been talking about since we started, creating new stuff.
Yes.
Letting directors create things and write things. This is what's been missing all along while Whitey's been running Hollywood.
That's exactly right.
And it's not an. Well, it's true. It's
I just
true.
Like it. He's phrased it.
You know, we need some black people in this film. Let's make it about gangsters and hookers and fuck all that shit.
The black person dies first.
It's exactly right.
This is what needed to happen.
It's kind of like Black. You watch Blackish? It's kind of like.
No, but I know it's a good
show. It's kind of like it brought sort of irony to the table, right. More irony right. to the table, right? Because when Whitey was producing it, there's no, for, I feel like, minorities, there's no irony in it.
No.
What right? do you mean? I don't understand.
Jimmy,
well, I don't mean that accusatory or anything. Like, I just don't understand what you mean.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that it's not self-aware in any kind of way, and it's real obvious. And like I think with Jordan Peele and even those guys are doing on that show is that there's some like again it's some self-awareness and some it's almost like they're winking at the audience when they never did that on some of these other things.
No,
you know what I mean. And so we've served. Yeah, I agree with you. And a lot of these guys, and even with the guy I was working with, I'll tell you in this other movie. Why I love working with him is I'm always like, remembering this and remembering that movie and remember this. And he hasn't seen all these movies. So to him, it's all fresh. So he's putting all these ideas together, right, in a fresh way. I think that what Jordan Peele is doing, I love the trippiness of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I love a good weirdo, altered states trippiness, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's bringing that to a crowd that have not had that.
Right.
And with Get Out, it was there were discussions and part of the plot was race.
Yes.
But it never felt like accusatory.
No, it was just a scary ass movie.
Yeah, it wasn't preachy.
It wasn't preachy. It wasn't saying that just because we're talking about race doesn't mean that we have to then vilify the other race that we're talking about. We're vilifying this family and this rich group of people.
The people wanted to be black.
Right.
Yeah.
They agree that black was better. That's why they were doing what they were doing.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Hey, Jimmy Walker. You know Jimmy Walker, right?
Yeah, sure.
There's a big long interview with him on YouTube and the AFI or one of those things. And he says, without irony, he says that Black-ish is Theo grown up from The Cosby Show.
Oh, that's interesting to think
and
about.
And he thinks that somebody wrote a script like that and that's where it came from. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to think about.
Who knows? So, you know, I can't wait to see Us. If you guys have seen it out there, let us know how it went. Stranger Things 3 is coming out on Independence Day. They now have the most watched trailer on YouTube in history. It looks good.
I love it.
I love how they transform Gwinnett Place Mall.
Yeah,
I love that show.
Yeah, me too.
And those brothers are supposed to be, I know some people that work on it, they say they're like the coolest dudes,
mm-hmm.
and just like a guy you'd know, just like a friend of yours, made it big.
I saw him in Cabbage Town, smoked cigarette with him when I was working at the barbershop down there.
The brothers?
The older guy.
Oh,
David
Harbour?
Oh, right. The actor.
Yeah, the older brother.
Cowboy. Oh, no.
No.
Yeah, the sheriff?
You said you saw David Harbour down there.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Well, that's who. Oh, that's the sheriff. I saw him, but I didn't smoke cigarettes with him.
Who did you smoke a cigarette with?
With Winona Ryder's oldest son, that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Emo guy.
Yeah, he's cool. And then I had Kevin, who works at Little's. You ever been to Little's in Cabbage Town? Really good burger if you're ever down there. But he also runs a graphics company.
Oh, okay.
And it's Neighborhood Vinyl is the name of it. And he did our first shirts, and Jeff designed the Radio Labyrinth logo to look like Stranger Things. So when the shirts were ready, and this is right next to the barbershop where I was working, he texted me, come down and get them. So I go down and get them, and there's a bag of these shirts, and I pull one of the shirts out, and I look at it, and I'm like, this is so awesome. And it looks like Stranger Things, and there's a girl standing there, and I said, what do you think? She went, oh, that's nice. And then he texts me later, he goes, that's the main girl from the show. That's
kidding.
Natalie
11?
Dreyer. No. Natalia Dyer.
Oh, yeah, the other one. Yes.
But I couldn't tell it was her because she didn't look like she'd done the show. So that's a little aside. But Stranger Things comes out, and that'll be on the 4th of July. And also, I have contracted artwork for a T-shirt.
Yay. Nice.
And it's going to say Radio Labyrinth 3, and then the three of us will be on it. Jeff, you're going to be the sheriff.
Okay.
Autumn, you're going to be 11.
Sweet.
And I'm going to be
Winona Ryder.
Tooth Kid.
I hope that you're Winona Ryder.
No, I'm Tooth Kid.
Yes.
Hat guy.
Toothless.
And last but not least, speaking of tertiary regular guys characters that are in documentaries. Bucci, Jimmy Bucci. See, I'm tired.
Vinny Bucci.
Vinny Bucci. I guess that movie's finally coming out on AdultSwim.com. Bucci Eats a Car. The trailer, we will post later, is out, and it looks good.
That's going to be on AdultSwim.com and on the app.
Yeah, and that starts.
And it's the 26th, so it'll probably be
this
out.
Week.
Yeah, we'll post it on our Facebook page so people know about it ahead of time.
It could have happened to anybody. But it didn't. It happened to us. The new band is going to be something nobody's ever seen before.
Oh my God, those are my pants.
But they look so much better on me.
We got a runaway, a kid drummer, an old man.
Let's just play it.
Cover band singer.
They say you're gonna be a rock star.
What do you think?
Holy shit.
If we want to knock people on their asses, then we've got to give them a show. I'm talking like a stadium show in the clubs. The fans, they're dying for some anarchy. So let's give it to them.
I work for Electra Records. You guys like a record too?
I had managed the Scorpions, Bon Jovi, Skid Row, Kiss, but I have never been through what Motley Crue put me through.
I am sick and tired of not having any fun. Everything's upside down and flip-flopping.
Motley Crue, no strangers to controversy.
Vince Neil was charged with vehicular manslaughter.
Tommy Lee and Heather Locklear have separated.
It's a degenerative bone disease.
Nikki Sixx has overdosed.
I know it's not going to be easy,
but I believe in you guys.
Hey, we have one more sponsor. That is the one that we did the real offensive ad for 2 weeks ago.
Well, was he offended?
I don't think so. Was he, Autumn?
No.
No, but he did tighten it up a little bit for us.
It wasn't it wasn't offensive. It was a pretty funny ad, but I couldn't believe that he would stand for that.
I think he was okay. Hey,
not offended.
Resource Environmental Group. Resource Environmental Group LLC is an environmental consulting firm in the greater Atlanta area. For more information, call Jason Chapel and or actually contact Jason Chapel at REGLLC@ATT.net. And if you need an environmental consulting firm, then you know what it's all about. And if you don't, Google it. You don't know if you need it or
then
not.
Then Google it.
Google that shit, yo. Sorry, I'm just writing something down.
Can we do the Hoff sauce at the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my intention.
You said this is the last sponsor.
Let's skip what we all watched, unless we can bust that real quick. Let's do it real quick.
I didn't watch that much. I went to Impractical Jokers on Sunday. That's a live show at the Phillips Arena.
How was that?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you talk to any of them about coming on Radio Labyrinth?
No. I tried to.
Jerk.
Yeah. I tried to get Brian Johnson because I thought maybe he would be in town too.
Yeah.
From Tell Him Steve Dave, but he didn't get back with me.
Yeah. Brian Johnson?
Yeah. I got to play Impractical Jokes on me, mate.
Can you imagine if you were on that show?
Yeah. I go fuck this.
I watched The Dirt, the Motley Crue. I guess it's not a biopic, really. Yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah, it's based on that book.
I was surprised. It really wasn't a fantastic movie by any means, but I loved Motley Crue back in the 80s, and I actually got Caitlin to watch it with me. She enjoyed it. Although the very first five minutes, you see a woman squirting all over a room.
Oh, the room.
You know, they're like Nikki Six is going down on somebody or something, but it's really more a story about Nikki Six, who I think was the primary guy who wrote the book, and you learn things that you didn't know. You all familiar with Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper?
Yep.
He plays Tommy Lee.
Right.
And he's amazing.
Cool.
I want to see it.
And it's good.
It feels better than kind of your standard.
It is. It's fun. Yeah. I mean, it really is fun. And the guys are, it's cast well.
Is it a comedy?
There's funny moments in it, but no, okay. It's not necessarily a comedy.
Okay.
Who played Mick Mars? Now, Mick Mars was the oldest guy in the band. He was in his 30s.
Well, he's looked like he's been 75 since the beginning.
I think it was...
looks like a witch.
Not Theon Greyjoy, but it was the guy from Battle of the Bastards. The
Ramsey?
Yes, it was him. Ramsey Bolton.
Oh, wow.
It's totally not him. He's not feeding people to dogs.
It's in my queue. I think I'm going to watch it. And do you think the wife would watch it?
Mine did.
Yeah.
But does your wife mind a lot of tits and coke?
Well.
There's pussy eating, blowjob, all sorts of things.
What? Really?
Why'd you laugh?
Because
she doesn't like that as much as I wish she did. Blowjob.
What should I have said? There's the oral sex. There's some breast massages. No, yeah. It's very base. It's as Motley Crue as you would think it would be.
Yeah, well, that's good, too. It also is, I've read people saying, well, you know, it's too much male debauchery. Like, that's what happened.
That's what happened,
right?
Yeah.
That's what happened, right?
I saw a review. Were people really asking for this?
Yeah, I saw that.
No one asked for it. But the best things are things you don't ask for that show.
That's right. It's for people
that's
who want it.
Absolutely right. Like, in life.
My friend Sean and I, we both watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs together. Oh, yeah. And I said at the end of it, I go, you know, it's something you didn't know you were looking for until you found it.
Yes.
Exactly right.
And it was such a good, unique, wonderful thing. Just like,
I tell you what happened at the end?
Huh?
Did you understand the very ending of it?
Yeah.
I did not.
Okay.
At first. And then when I found out what the ending meant, I freaked out and kept thinking about it for days.
I love the armless, legless Dudley being thrown into an icy cold river.
Ugh. God. See, don't spoiler it, Tim.
Well, no one knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, they do.
You never see that.
Yeah.
So it's implied.
You don't know what happened. The other thing I watched is the Townsend Yusu. What are you laughing at? The Townsend.
Stop asking me. I'm going to tell you.
No, I want to know everything. Townsend YouTube channel, 18th century lifestyle, living and cooking old recipes. Yes, it does sound boring,
fun.
But I'm a dork and I love it. They dress up in, you know, that 18th century wear and they look at old cookbooks.
That's really cool.
And they cook the things.
And they film it with an 18th century camera.
Yeah. No, they shoot it probably with a digital camera. But They baked onions, taking an onion, an unpeeled onion, and baking it in the oven like a potato, and then eating it with butter and salt on it. Huh. The original recipes for macaroni and cheese.
That sounds amazing. So, how do I find this magic?
Well, just type in T-O-N-S-E-N-D, 18th century.
T-O-W-N?
Yeah, Townsend.
Okay.
Like Pete Townsend.
You said T-O-N.
Don't type in Townsend under 18.
By no, don't do that. Yeah, I'll have to study the under 18th century. All right, let's
Townsend.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Let's bust through our staff picks real quick. Jeff, you didn't have one.
I didn't have one. I'll steal yours. The Highwayman.
All right.
On Netflix, the 29th, W. Earl Brown is in that.
All right.
That's the Bonnie and Clyde movie, but this focuses on the cops that killed them.
Yeah.
And it's Woody Harrelson and Kevin Costner.
Cool.
And W. Earl Brown, who was a guest on our podcast.
Yes, and will be in the Deadwood movie when it comes out. Mine is What We Do in the Shadows, premiering this week on FX. If you like the movie, I'm sure this will be great, especially since it's on FX and they generally do a good job. It's adapted from the cult movie by Taika Waititi. Did I say it right?
Close enough. Taika Waititi.
And Jermaine Clement.
I was not all about it when I saw the first.
You didn't like the movie?
No, I love the movie, but the American version, I was like, this is not going to be good. And then from the first trailer that they showed, I was like, this doesn't look good.
Yeah.
But then they started showing a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and everyone that I saw made me like it even more every time I saw it. So now I'm all about it.
Yeah, good. I've heard really good things.
Yeah.
Autumn, you got one?
Yeah, so this is our staff picks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching these YouTube documentaries, not about YouTube, but about different things. Mm-hmm. And the first one I watched was about call girls. And it's about
what are their numbers?
Yeah, it's about British women being not call girls. That's what they call the sex phone people.
Birds, right? Birds.
Phone sex.
So
what are their numbers?
I don't know.
Are there punters in it?
Are there what?
Punters.
What's that?
Isn't a punter what they call Johns?
I don't know.
Well, because it's not a prostitution
thing.
I know,
it's phone sex.
So it's different, yeah. So it was just interesting they follow the girls and the women on their lives and what they're doing, and it's so British and great. And then I also watched one called A Very British Brothel. And Tim, could you just click on that link and play just the first 10
Rub
seconds?
Rub your tummy, governor.
Where's the link?
It's in the document.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes, I can do that.
Thank you.
Keep talking.
Well, it just, the whole thing is about this weird massage parlor.
All right, here we go.
Which is what they all call them.
Also slutty, because a man likes a slut.
You got to go back to the very beginning.
All right, hang on.
A working girl needs to be sexy, elegant, also slutty, because a man likes a slut.
Men like the slot.
Men like a slut.
Steel City. At its heart, Attercliffe Road, the Golden Mile.
You don't have to play all of this, but the point, I just loved her voice, and I loved listening to these women talk. And because it's in a small town, you get to know the guys that come in, and you kind of get the perspective of these women. These women are not, like, great.
Is it illegal or is it legal?
No, it's legal.
Wow.
It's run, it's, you know, they have codes, they have things that they have to do. It was just really interesting to watch. Go check it out.
Sheffield is on the move.
A very British brothel.
All right, thank you. Kevin, have you one?
Well, let's think. Off the top of my head, Red Oaks. It's not too new. Maybe last year.
It could be whatever you
want.
Yeah,
it's called Red Oaks. Mm-hmm. The guy, David Gordon Green. This guy from North Carolina. Actually, he just did the new Halloween, which is kind of out of his... He usually does kind of these indie, great indie little movies. Excuse me. He works at a country club in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So our generation, I think you can sort of, there's a lot of sort of 80s stuff, but he also wants to get into film. And yeah, it's really well done. Steven Soderbergh produced it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's good. It's.
Yeah, we've had a couple people mention it before on the show. I haven't checked it out. Is that on... It's on Netflix or Amazon?
I think it's on Amazon.
Amazon, okay.
Yeah, but so it's kind of, if you're a movie nerd, you'd kind of like it. Right. If you're kind of 80s sort of country club thing, you'd kind of like it. And I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Sure. Red Oaks. All right, now I'm going to read some. You want to take turns doing these?
Sure.
All right, I'll start with Chris Cosentino.
Okay.
I've been watching Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix. While the animation quality is excellent and the stories are very interesting, there's too much gratuitous violence, nudity, and sex. By the way, I think this is the first time I've seen computer-generated Bush. So, not interested in the...
Hey, there's no such thing as too much gratuitous nudity and sex.
Okay, Jeff disagrees
violence,
with me.
Violence is okay. Yeah. But no, the series was awesome. I loved every
you did like
every
it.
Single one. And some of them were way better than others, but yeah. All of them were good.
Okay. Adam Kelly wrote underneath that...
Hey, I thought we were...
Well, this is a continuation of that one. Oh, you drove last time.
I just backed it up.
It's my turn to drive. Oh, you did. Adam Kelly wrote underneath that post, you had me at too much gratuitous violence, nudity, and sex.
That's
okay.
True, though.
Rusty Weinberg wrote, he said that Triple Frontier, a star-studded Netflix action flick that starts out slowly, but once it found its footing, things get pretty exciting. Having the supposed climax of the film happen rather early on makes everything coming after that pleasantly unpredictable. Thoroughly entertaining and with interesting characters, the viewer is gladly on board for the ride. Some parts play out maybe a tad too quickly, but overall the experience is pretty satisfying. Sad ending, but justified. But someone has the coordinates.
Ooh.
This is that Ben Affleck directed.
Poe from Star Wars. Yeah.
Did you see it?
I have not.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I'm hearing good things about it.
Rusty usually knows what's good. Garrett Kemble writes, Umbrella Academy on Netflix is a must-see. All right, I noped out, so maybe I'll go back. Clearly,
no, you noped out because of Ellen Page, and you need to stick with it.
You didn't like it?
Mm-mm.
He doesn't like Ellen Page.
I don't really either.
It has nothing to do with her politics. I just think she's a shitty actress.
No, she's like the normal one on this.
It's so
really good.
Stunted and punted and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. She's good on this.
Garrett goes on to say, clearly it's an X-Men-inspired show, but much deeper and darker, and it's just good. Completely worth watching, and you got to stick out to the end because you get the money shot. Once you get the money shot, it's worth it. An honest, much more clearly written dictation. I will once again apologize for any grammatical mistakes that I've made. My life consists of driving sales calls, installations, and dog trainings.
Died AIDS.
Hey,
Garrett Kimball, don't die AIDS.
All right. So, hey, if you're looking for the perfect hot sauce.
Wait, Jason Chappell.
Where did he write?
He says, so I don't have, well.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
This got added after the show started.
Oh, boy. He didn't die AIDS.
So I don't have time to watch shit. Barely have time to take a shit. Changing diapers that are full of shit. But aren't we all? I did get my copy of Rum Diaries back from my fucking ex, so I plan to read it again once I finish my taxes, you fucks. Y'all be good.
You fucks.
I added some extra fucks.
Rum Diaries is good book.
But the movie, they did not do
a
good job.
No, the movie was, it was fun to see Johnny Depp being Otto Thompson again, but.
Not as good as
not as good.
Johnny Depp needs a reboot of himself.
I could have stopped getting beat up by my girls.
Get his finger chopped off.
Yeah. Hey, if you're looking for the perfect hot sauce, look no further. Hoff Sauce has 6 sauces to choose from. Hoff Sauce, full size and travel size. Mean Green, Smoke and Ghost. Hoff's Original Barbecue, Dirty Dust. And the new Wake Up Call, made with coffee. Keep it nearby for your next barbecue or just on the table to throw on your eggs, pizza, pasta, or chocolate
cake. A little vanilla beanish, just saying.
Mm. Hoffandpepper.com. That's H-O-F-F and P-E-P-P-E-R, like salt and pepper, but hoffandpepper.com. Enter Radiolab15 for 15% off.
Wow.
All right, housekeeping time. Next week, we're joined by Alan and Walt from The Wilder Ride to talk about The Wilder Ride. The movie they're doing right now is, of course, Jeff.
It's Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, stoner.
No, I'm trying to find where the housekeeping was, but I can't find it.
In the last page.
You move everything around.
Because I like it to be in the order I like it to be.
You make the document that I need.
I like how you make the document. It's a nice outline. You never put the ads copy in there. Anyway, so that'll be on.
I have the ad copy.
What's in the previous document?
It's housekeeping.
Yes.
You need to make a shell document.
You need to go to shell.
You need to make a shell corporation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shell game.
And then later in the month, we...
Michelle?
I'm going to fart. Yeah, later in the month...
I'm working on trying to get people from your...
Do you have anybody confirmed yet from your pretty face?
I think Casper can do the May 1st episode.
Okay.
But that's all I've heard so far.
Casper Kelly. Nobody likes us.
No, they're traveling. They were just at C2E2 this last weekend. They're going to Canada next weekend for another show. in Toronto, I think.
Maybe Southside Steve will come
Webster?
Out.
How about Webster?
Yeah, Webster, is he available?
How about...
You should ask Jamie Self, though, if he wants to come on the 10th.
I was going to invite Jamie and the owner of Amatza, Hugh,
right,
to come on because the Amatza location is reopening on Edgewood.
Did your episode of The Wilder Ride air yet?
No,
or is
no.
It still
coming soon, though.
Coming soon.
Okay. It'll probably be around the same time where we have them on.
Yeah, we do the fart scene.
Cool. Because mine is at the end.
Scene did you do?
I'm doing the
doing the one where they
oh, that's awesome.
Where they,
yeah, that's my
sounds like
part.
Sounds like steam escaping.
Oh, that's cool.
Watch me, faggots.
One.
That's from the movie.
I know.
That's my favorite part.
Kevin, thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you guys for having
Yay,
me.
Yay, Kevin.
This has been fun.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me.
Let us know when we can come hang around the set and watch you filming The Greenskeeper 2.
Yeah. I'd love it. Do it. Bring it.
We'll talk more, man. In the future. Let's do some stuff together. I think not sexually, but I mean, you know, if it ends up that way.
Give me enough Zimas in me.
I have cases of Zima. I thought they'd quit making it. Who knew?
They did quit for a while.
Yeah, but it's back, baby. You ever see that guy drink? Never mind. We'll get into that later. All right, man. Thank you again, Kevin.
Thank you.
We will be back next week. Everybody have a great weekend. And until that time, please remember to
keep it canon.
Hello, radios. Thank you for donating to Patreon. If you'd like to donate, you can go to patreon.com/Tamandros. You can donate at different tiers. Choose one you like, and you'll get lots of things in return. Okay, hey, thanks, everybody. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to everyone who's a Patreon donator. We really appreciate you. We couldn't do this without you. Starting with Mike Spittler, Jason Chappell, Mike Hall, Aaron Williams, Sean Hall, Jonathan Wilson, Keith Tate, Chad Shepard, Beth Van Elswick, Mike D, Leslie Norman, Garrett Kemble, Matt Carter, John Sutherland, Eric Malmstrom, Debbie McDonald, Adam Kelly, Marty Johnson, Chris Weiland, Daniel Pitts, Rusty Weinberg, Andrew Harbin, Nicholas Frank, Jeff Peterson, Chris Meitzler, Ryan O'Connor, Mark Weiland, Denise Reynolds, Chris Constantino. Man, I always mess up your last name, Chris. I'm so sorry. Chris Costantino, Andrew Mulazzi, Jeremy Turman, Ian Stull, Wayne Blair, Dean Poole, Brennan Price, Colin Oman, Alan Barker, Sam Wells, Gordon Green, Seth Ingram, Luke Coniglio, Trent, Chris Knight, Bill Crumpton, Al McMeekin, Gordon Drum, Wendy Muller, Andrew Hopkins, Emily Warren, Aaron Roberts, Buck Monterey, Gwen Ketchum, Leslie Haney, Dallas Walker, Herb Lamb, Kevin Stokes, Dan Carroll, Brian Jackson, Amber Gilpatrick, David C. Funk, Sherry Doherty, Kit Beatty, Ruben Aguilar, Mark Pierro, Lauren Calderman, Robert Calderman, Robert Haley, and Dustin LaLeur. Thank you. Keep it canon.